God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, hide me behind the cross, O God. Speak through me. Let the people see me. Let the people see you alive in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May it be so, God. May it be so. Amen. It is not strange that the handing down of God's mercies and deliverances from age to age is always regarded in Scripture as a principal mode whereby we remember. And if we remember in the Old Testament, it was said, tell your children, and your children's children will tell of God's goodness and of God's grace. Well, now we write, we video, we text, we Facebook, we do all of that, and if we have it recorded at home and we don't like the call that the referee made or that umpire made, we rewind it. I want to see if this is what it is. This morning, let us rewind. Back in August of this year, I was asked to be the resource leader for the region of Indiana's Disciples Women. And God moved in a mighty way. I could hear the Spirit speaking to me as I delivered one lecture after another. The Spirit was saying, Covenant would understand me. Covenant would hear me. But I had to focus on that retreat. And so when I got the invitation and the subject for the retreat, I was taken back a bit. I was taken back and I call my daughter, and I thank God that my daughter is here. Now, you know, Antoinette Latrice and Deanna comes, but I'm calling out Deja this morning because Deja does not come. Deja is 15, right? But I am calling her out because I give you thanks on behalf of God for you being here today. I required to my friend that said, Marilyn, will you come and speak? And I said, are you sure you have the right person? Because their retreat was focused around the Negro National Anthem. And I said, in Indiana, I said, I have been told that the retreat is going to be at Abe Lodge in Indiana, and it is in Brown County, Indiana, and I have been told that a little black girl shouldn't be in Brown County in Indiana. And she says to me, God's put it in my spirit, and it has been confirmed. And you all know me here at Covenant. If God put it in somebody's spirit and it's been confirmed, then God is going to confirm the messenger that this is what he wants me to deliver. And the rest is history. 4 weeks, four weeks ago, I get a text from Pastor Chris concerning my availability on November the 10th. I said, well, Pastor, I'm at Covenant. I'm the elder for the whole month at Covenant. He says, good. You want to preach? I said, yes, but then, Randy, I immediately went to the lectionary because, you know, we're a lectionary church. But praise be to God Psalms 145, Robin, was in the lectionary. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And right there, we can put a praise on that. And I began to say, Lord, what is it that I say? The Spirit came back and said, you wanted your family to hear because they would understand. Psalms 145 is a song of praise. David says, I will exalt the Lord, my God and my King, and bless his name forever. Lift every voice and sing, as I did my research, says we will praise God. Lift every voice and sing. And this hymn acknowledges all the obstacles of African Americans that we still face and the struggles that we go on. Freedom, while also we're taking back and taking stock on where we are today, where we are in this struggle. I wanted to think about this, but it says, one generation shall transmit the knowledge by all works to another and with praise and songs. So this morning, Covenant family, I'd like to tell you a story. It was in 1899, a young poet and a school principal named James Weldon Johnson was asked to address a crowd in his hometown of Jacksonville, Florida, to celebrate the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. Just two decades had passed since the resurrection, the Reconstruction era, and lynchings were on the rise in the segregated South. So instead of preparing a speech, James decided to write a poem. And he began with a simple, powerful line, a call to actions. Lift every voice and sing. I think that's a praise. James says in a memoir, he says that he paced back and forth on his front porch, agonizing over the lines of the poem. And after he had finished it, he simply gave it to his brother, who randomly just happened to be a trained classical musician. And John Johnson put the words to music. He says as he wrote the words, he struggled, evoking the struggle and the resilience of his ancestors. He said, I began to weep. Johnson recounted, I began to weep, but I didn't hold back, because this was something to weep about. God heard the Negroes groan in slavery as they cried out, and their cry for help because they were in slavery went up to God. God heard that groaning, and he remembered the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Negroes, and he was concerned about them. The following year, on the same date, Abraham Lincoln's birthday celebration, a chorus of 500 school children sang, lift every voice and sing. And the song quickly took off, became the rallying cries for black communities in the South. And one person observed, wrote it as, it was a collective prayer, a song of praise. This is a season of giving. This is November. This is a season of giving. And in my spirit, I talked to the dead. I said, come here, James. I need to know what was going on when you penned this poem. You might know something about penning a poem, huh, Debbie? What's going on in your spirit when you pen a poem? And I asked myself, I said, James, what was it? Why did they ask James? Is it because he's an accomplished attorney, an educator, an author, a poet, a diplomat for the United States government? Why ask James to speak? Could it be because Abraham Lincoln is accredited with freeing the slaves? Could it be that the power in the words of the Gettysburg Address spoke to James on that morning as he was pacing back and forth? And yes, I am telling my age, because in grade school, I had to learn 67 years ago, our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That all men are created equal. Isn't it something, Covenant, that in November 19th, 1863, on the battlefield near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men, this was Lincoln's address. He was the president of the United States, and he was pulling together this country. We are in a civil war today, brothers and sisters. That's why I knew I needed to be in Covenant. Covenant had my back when I was in Indiana, because you understand, my family understands what the president was saying. His speech continues, and Lord, the language back in 1863. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that this nation might live. It is also fitting and proper that we do this. But in a larger sense, he goes on to say, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. Why? The brave men living and dead who struggle here have already consecrated it. Far above poor power, far above our poor power to add or distract. The world, he says, will little note nor long remember what they said here, but they can never forget what they did here. And then the next part of the speech is what I think God gave to James. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated to the unfinished work which they fought here. For so nobly thus we advance. I tell you, that language was something else. But it says, it is rather for us here, the living, to dedicate the great task remaining for us. That's what he was saying. That task that is remaining for us, for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. I believe when James read the Gettysburg Address, I believe that out of the belly, his soul, the spirit out of his mouth, out of his entire being, came the words of faith, hope, and liberty. And he penned them in the poem. Speak to us this morning, James. The second verse says, stony the road we trod. Stone of the road, we, who we? The Negroes, the colors, the blacks, the African Americans. Stony how, James? The hardships and the difficulties, that we still endure today. But James was talking about the assaults, the lynching, the hanging, the separation of families, being treated and labeled as less than human. Tough experiences. Things endured just to stay alive. But God, we must put a praise on that right there. Because but God, Randy, but God, bitter the chastening rod, the whip, the discipline whip, the lashes being beat in what they thought was for submission, mutilated, the pain, the sorrow, the blows, difficult to bear. Difficult days felt in the days when hope unborn had died, when hope was conceived, but hope had never been birthed. Hope had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers and our mothers sighed. God heard the cries, and God remembered his covenant. Though some lives were lost, some survived, and they kept on striving. They kept on moving, and have not our weary feet come to this place. We flourish, and we have so many important contributions in the way of the history and the United States of America. Even with Google it, Facebook, and all your stuff, it will take us a week to make that complete list of how the American Negro have brought forth and done things here within this country, despite the obstacles. We have arrived at a place where our fathers only dreamed of. No longer in slavery like that. We are builders. We are doctors, lawyers, scientists, chemists, engineers, educated, dental hygienists. We are women in the gospel. We are preachers. Hallelujah. We are black women preaching. We are white women in the pulpit preaching. Have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers. How did we get here, James? He goes on, he says, we have come over the way that with tears have been watered. We have come dreading the path through the blood of the slaughter. From slavery to the Jim Crow area. But, put a praise right there, but out of the gloomy past, still now we stand at last where the white gleam of the white star is cast. A renewed hope, a sense of liberty, a new beginning. We have a new hope. We have a new hope. In the 44th president of these United States, Barack Obama. We have a new beginning in the president of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, who is Terry Horde Owens, who is a woman and is a black woman. We have hope. We have done so much. The little things every day that we don't think about, the traffic light, the caller ID, your home security system, and the ironing board. And I know some of you here have no clue what an ironing board is. You don't even know what an iron, you probably don't even know what an iron is, and you probably don't use it. There's this commercial that I like on TV, and I can't remember what it is. I thought it was Bounce or Downy, but I think it is a commercial about no iron shirts. Well, the young man is coming to take the girl out. And at the door, he rings the doorbell. I like that doorbell thing this morning. When the door is open, the mother is standing there, and she looks at this wrinkled shirt, close the door back. And on his second time he comes, he has on this clean, wrinkle-free shirt. So You probably don't know anything about the ironing board. And thanks to the Academy, the nominated film, Hidden Figures, we know that there were three women who changed the lives of Nassau. We know that, but we didn't know that before. Those are the things. This is why James padded these. This is why James decided, let me write this. And I, for one, thank God. I thank God for the weary years, God of our silent tears, when we could not say anything, but we had those silent tears. We were not alone. God was there with us, and we will praise. It is because of our faith in God we can see the light. Whether the light comes as their life was being snuffed out, whether it was a foot on their head, or they were hanging from a tree, the lynching, or if it was the light that has brought us where we are today. Great God Almighty, led us into the light. Keep us forever in our path, we pray. Please, Lord, guide us. How? Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Let us not get complacent. Let us not let the world fool us, because they've got another little way that a winding end. But we must stay focused on that spiritual realm. We are walking on the path that with tears have been watered. We are treading the path where the blood of the slaughter, but shadowed beneath God's hands. Shadowed beneath God's. Do you understand? That shadow is over us. His hand is over us, shattered beneath his hands. God is our covering. He continues to be our protector. We shall remain true to God and true to our native land. When you read that, when you hear that, I think people think they're talking about Africa, but they are talking about these United States of America. When James wrote it, he was saying, we are going to be true to this native land because this is all that we know. This is all that we know. Our fathers and mothers taught us about Africa, but this land is all that we know. So we shall be true to our native land with faith, hope, and liberty. We collectively sing with praise. Lift your voice and sing it aloud. Sing with harmonies of freedom, liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government will be of the people, by the people, and for the people. Let us rejoice loud as the rolling sea. Let us sing together. Sing a song full of faith that the dark past has taught us. We are here today. By faith, we are here in Covenant Christian Church, a multicultural community, a multicultural congregation. We have been brought the hope to the present. Our ancestors only dreamed of that, but we're still facing and we're marching on. We're fighting for freedom. We are not alone and we've never been alone. We will rejoice in our Father, maker of heaven and earth. I will bless the Lord. Maryland will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continue be in my mouth, on my tongue, in my spirit, and in my feet. Covenant, we have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be grateful for. We work together. We are a diverse church. We believe in following the example of Jesus Christ by accepting all people into a warm, caring faith community. Not because we have to. It's because the Spirit invites us to. That's our belief. It's on the back of your program. That's our belief statement and our statement of calling. We are a movement for wholeness in this fragmented world. The Negro National Anthem speaks volume to so many, but I found out that there are so many that have never heard of it. I invite you to read it first. Remember, because it was a poem. And then sing it. You see, your struggles may not have been like mine. And you still may never experience what I have experienced. But we all now have the opportunity to change things little by little, bit by bit. Because the oneness that we share is the love that we have in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is the key that opens the door. And then we all can sing, lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven rings. Why do you think you can do this thing, Marilyn? Because I belong to Jesus. That's why I can constantly preach, lift every voice and sing. And you, there are the naysayers that want to whisper in my ear. The devil whispered in my ear, you're not strong enough to withstand the storm. I declared, as I whispered right back into his ear, I am a child of God, a woman of faith, a warrior of Christ. I am the storm, for God is my rock and my shield. I will praise him all the way. I will praise him through the storm, past the storm, and I will rejoice. And my God, my Savior, my mouth shall continuously praise my God. I have a cannon of praise on the inside, and he is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Put a praise on it. Amen.